Blog Talk Radio.
There's power in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that demons tremble at the sound of that name. Jesus. My sweet Rose of Sharon, my Lily of the Valley. Oh, that's the reason I say that
Jesus is the answer for the world today.
If you have some questions in the corners of your mind and traces of discouragement and peace you cannot find, reflections of your past seem to face you every day. But there's one thing I do.
I know your skies are dark. You think the sun won't shine. In case you don't know, but the word of God is true, and everything He promised, He will do it for you. That's the reason I say. Let's tell the world that Jesus is.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. You are indeed listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this beautiful Sunday, April 21st, 2024. Now, as you may know, I am Apostle Shalene Cook, and I am blessed to be the woman of God of this assembly, but I am also joined by a very phenomenal family in the persons of Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Apostle Zeta Flowers, and of course we're praising God for Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell and today's Watchman on the Wall. We have our own Minister Tina, who we are lifting up in prayer, and of course we have Elder Linda, and I'm sure that Elder Nita will be along shortly. So on behalf of all of us, we would just like to say good morning, and we are so glad that you have taken time out of your busy schedule to join us to worship God in spirit and in truth. Right now, we're going to open our worship service in prayer. O Most High, we come this morning first and foremost just thanking you. We're thanking you, Lord God, for another opportunity to come together and just praise and worship you. Lord, we come before you with grateful hearts, hallelujah, and repentant spirits, because we don't want anything to hinder us from entering into your presence. We thank you for your wonderful son, Jesus, this morning. Hallelujah. And we just pray right now that if somebody does not know him in the pardon of their sin, that today would be the day that they would make Jesus their Lord and their Savior. Lord, just continue to bless us and use us to be disciples who will make disciples that will go on to make other disciples. We're so grateful to you, Lord Jesus, for all that you do through us and for us and in us. So we just give you right now all the honor and the glory and the praise in your holy and righteous name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thousands of years, thousands of voices have been singing one name. It started with 12 who were crazy enough to leave everything. Yeah. Misfits and doubters, outcasts and cowards, kinda like you and me, have one thing in common, the one we follow, he's still the reigning king. Sing it with me now.
Jesus, people all around the world, stand up.
But it strengthens our faith. We pray to be bold and unstoppable, to live in our shame.
Yeah. With billions of hearts light in the dark, we're never fading out. If the nails in his hands cannot stop a net, nothing's ever gonna stop us now.
Let it be known, let it be known. Just start living like we've been set free. There's a broken world that needs to see.
Oh, hallelujah and glory to God. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And each and every Sunday, hallelujah, we are blessed to ask the mother of our assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come, and she will read to us from a powerful devotional written by Sister Sherry Crowell, and it is entitled 365 Day Devotional for 365 Days of Peace. So my brothers and sisters, I ask that you retrieve your Bibles, and please give your undivided attention to the mother of our family, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I love each and every one of you, no matter how near or far from me you are. This morning's meditational reading is titled Open Doors. And it reads, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And it's from 1 Peter 4 and 9. Now, it was one of my grandmother's most generous and most endearing habits. Once or twice a week when she was making the family dinner, she also prepared an extra meal for someone in need. She liked to have one ready for whenever a need arose. Besides being generous and kind, this practice also helped broaden my understanding of hospitality. Sometimes hospitality means opening your home, but it can also mean taking a meal to someone or visiting a homebound person for the day. Christian hospitality means living with open doors, literally and metaphorically, to welcome people who are searching, hurting, or hungry. May we also live with open hearts, open calendars, and open checkbooks. May we be ready to offer the shoulder to lean on. The day of the soup kitchen, a day at the soup kitchen, and the check to help the widowed mom. Showing hospitality is putting God's love into action. May God add blessings and favor to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. The prayer for the day, God give me boldness to live with open doors, welcoming people with your love. Amen and glory to God.
Come on, you can put your hands together. Come on.
A fire in you, a burning that's only for you, a hunger that can only be satisfied by Jesus. You came and you turned the light on, when sin and shame had me lost in the dark. Oh, you came and you found me.
I can tell the world that a crown of thorns was worn by a man named Jesus. And the price that he paid, I know that he paid it for you. That hell in the grave, he didn't pray for nothing. Yes, he did it to save me, and he wants to save you.
Come to
me, give him your heart.
Come to
me.
That's only for him. A hunger that can only be satisfied by Jesus.
It's hard to eat, to run away. Hard as the sunrise from the sunset. That's how far he'll, that's how far he'll move your sin.
Hey, I can tell the world that a crown of thorns was won by
to love you. He wants to love you. He wants to love you.
Oh, hallelujah and glory to God. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a very special time for all of us here because it's our opportunity to go to the Lord with our petitions, our supplications, our intercessions on behalf of not just ourselves, but for others, our family and friends all around this world. We here believe that prayer changes things, and we believe God, and we trust God, and we are ready to obey God. So right now, my brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask that you please bow your heart and put all of your focus, hallelujah, on the Lord as we enter into his presence with his anointed apostle, Zeta Flowers. Amen.
Man. Praise the Lord. God bless you, everyone. We're preparing to go into prayer to pray for the people across the nation, all over the world. Amen. Father God, we come to you this morning. We come to you thanking you for who you are and thanking you, Lord, for waking us up this morning. Thank you for starting us on a new day. We praise you for it. However, we know that many people are suffering and hurting today, and we want to lift them up to you. We know that you, Jesus, are the answer, and we know that you are the only way to salvation. So we lift you up this morning. We praise your holy name. We thank you for the love that you have for us. And we thank you for the love that you have instilled in us when we didn't know how to love. We thank you for that. And we ask this morning that you, as you always do, move in a supernatural, miraculous way across the nation for those that are hurting, for those that are not free. We lift them up to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We pray for the captives to be set free. In Jesus' name. Also pray, Lord, for laborers, hallelujah, to be increased for the harvest so that many souls will come to know Jesus. We lift up the abused and the battered this morning. We lift up those, Lord, that feeling hopeless. We pray that you would lift their hung down heads. We pray that you would give strength to those that are weak today. And Lord, we pray for those that are affected by the wars and those that are really suffering over their losses, the loss of loved ones, the loss of their homes, the buildings. We pray for them, Lord. We pray that you would step in, that you would touch, that many will come to know who you are in all these crises, situations. We pray that people will really begin to look to you as their only hope and realize that you are our only hope. We pray, Lord, for the hungry. There are many people that are suffering from malnutrition. We pray, Lord, that you will meet the needs of these that are even without their basic needs, food, water, shelter. We pray that you will touch in their lives, that you will send forth those that are equipped and are able to help them and to able to get supplies to them that are without. And Father God, we pray for those also, thank you, Jesus, that still have never heard about you. We pray that you will send people into those areas, into those places, Lord. Hallelujah, that they will hear about you, that they will know about you. Hallelujah, that they will be touched by you through others that you will send, hallelujah, to their rescue, to meet their needs, to heal their hurts, and to provide the things that are necessary for them to live. And Father God, we pray for those that are being sexually abused. We pray, Lord, that they will be helped. We pray that the awareness of this spread, the people will begin to step up and advocate. And not only that, but to reach out and help in the name of Jesus. That prayer will continue to go out for these people, even in a greater way, as more and more people are made aware of the situations that many don't even know about and often don't think about. But these kinds of things are continuing to go on. People are being abused and taken advantage of, can't help themselves because they are so vulnerable. So we pray, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way in these situations, that things will begin to change, hallelujah, as we continue to stand for these ones that are helpless, and that they will be helped, that they will be rescued, hallelujah. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done already and for what you're continuing to do in these areas of people that are held against their will and feel like there is no way out. We thank you for stepping in. We thank you for sending those that don't mind, hallelujah, going in and bringing out, hallelujah, and calling sin what it is. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your mighty move. We thank you for the miracles that you have wrought and continue to do. We thank you for that, Lord. The sick everywhere, because we know that you are a healer. And we ask, Lord, that you would touch, that you would heal in the name of Jesus.
Touch, Lord. Yes.
Hallelujah. We know what your word says. With your stripes, we are already healed. But there are so many that don't know that. They just don't know. And we pray, Lord, that they will know, hallelujah, that they will know you was their healer, hallelujah. We pray, Lord, for people to have more trust, more faith and trust in you, Lord, that they would just simply believe you, hallelujah, for your work's sake and for what we already know that you have done, hallelujah, in our lives and others' lives. Hallelujah. That will make a difference. Hallelujah. And people trusting you, distrusting you for who you are and having that belief that you can set them free. Hallelujah. That you desire, hallelujah, that every need be met. Hallelujah. And that your people will know and realize, hallelujah, that that's why, hallelujah, you chose to die so that we could live, not just existing, but to really live in you, Christ Jesus, and have the abundance that you said we would have, that you promised. Hallelujah. We thank you. Lord, we lift up churches today. We lift up ministries everywhere, podcasts. We lift up conferences. We lift up all these things, Lord, that are going on for your glory.
Yes, Lord.
For your glory.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. We lift up those that are honoring you today.
Yes, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Because truly you are worthy. Worthy. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you. Over and over. We can't thank you enough for all that you do for us and all that you continue to do. We pray for everyone that's listening in this morning, for every leader, hallelujah,
yes, Lord,
that's on this morning. We pray, Lord, yes, that Lord, the message will touch deeply, hallelujah, that
yes,
others will be touched, hallelujah, revived, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, and saved, hallelujah, that somebody will hear your word this morning and will take heed to the word and come to you, in Jesus' name. We lift up the Spirit Alive Ministries, as we always do, and we lift up the leader. We lift up Apostle Shirlene Cook. We pray that you would strengthen her this morning. We lift up Minister Tina. Hallelujah. We pray for her, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will take away the pain. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. We also lift up those that are grieving this morning. We lift up the cousin of Apostle Shirlene Cook and the loss of her husband. We lift her up, Lord. We pray that you would give her comfort and strength in the mighty name of Jesus. We lift up Minister Melanie's family this morning. Hallelujah. And the things that they're going through, we lift them up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We lift up our families. Hallelujah. We lift up our family and pray that you would strengthen the family unit in Jesus' name. And we thank you for all the things that you're doing right now. Hallelujah. We thank you for every door that you have opened. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, amen.
Lord, you promised if I keep my mind on you, you keep me in perfect peace.
Yes, you will. You keep me in perfect peace.
Yes, you will. With a sincere heart, if I call upon your name, you'd never turn away from me, no, no.
You'd never turn away from me.
Said you'd give me everything I need. Yes, you would.
You'd give me everything I need.
Yeah, yeah. If I call upon your name, you never turn away from me, no.
You never turn away from me.
Said you'd give me everything I need, yes.
You give me everything I need,
yes, yes.
You said you'd deliver me.
You
said you'd deliver me.
Yes,
and that's what I
and glory to God. Beloved, it is now time for this morning's message, and we are praising God for the message and for the messenger. So right now I'm going to ask that if you have not already done so, please retrieve your Bibles. Get something to write with and to write on, because this morning our mighty man of God is stepping forth. So please now receive Bishop Lester Carver. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle Cook. Heavenly Father, we come before you boldly today, praising you, magnifying you, and glorifying you. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that you sent so that we can live life more than abundantly. Father, we thank you for the wholeness that we receive through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, which was perfect and cleansed us from all sin. Father, I thank you for the physical wholeness that we receive from the broken body of your Son, Jesus Christ, which made us whole physically so that we could stand before you whole spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us a desire to bless others as you bless us. Allow us to allow the overflow from what you pour into us to flow over into the lives of others so that they can be encouraged, so that they can be strengthened, so that they can be renewed, so that they can be restored, so that they can be healed. Father, I thank you for you meeting their need so that they can walk beyond their need into relationship with you. I thank you for this right now, and I thank you for your word having an impact in someone's life today so that they are truly transformed by that word as they yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Today's teaching is going to be about believers, unbelievers, and disciples. And we're going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 11. And Matthew chapter 12. You can turn to Matthew chapter 11 now, but while you're turning, I'm going to share with you a little bit about believers, unbelievers, and disciples, because it's interesting that in the world, there are many people who are all seeking, and you find that people can believe almost anything. They're seeking to follow something that seems real. Unfortunately, there's so much fake in the world today that finding that which is real is very difficult, especially when we talk about things that are spiritual. And people understand, your average person understands that there is more to this life than what they see, because there are things that they can never explain that impact them every day, and they are looking for the answers to those things. They're looking for answers to the spiritual things. Those of us in Christ who have been following God for some time and following his Son, Jesus Christ, for some time and operating in the power of the Holy Spirit for some time and studying the Word of God for some time, we know and understand that the power of the Holy Spirit is real. And it is the greatest power in the earth. It is unlimited power. And yet we know that the devil spirits also have power, but that power is not greater than the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet, if you're someone in the world walking around with no power, you've not sold out to the devil, you've not given your life to Jesus Christ, then you are without power, and now you're watching all of this happen around you, trying to explain, trying to make sense of what's going on, because you're spiritually homeless. You're in the middle of these two camps set up against one another, and now you have to decide what to do. Now, many unbelievers, they come to the conclusion that I'm not going to choose either side. And I knew people like this. They would say that they don't get involved with things related to Christianity or almost any religion because they find those things to be too divisive. they find the things of God to cause more division than unity and peace. But what they don't understand is that this is real. This is not something that's optional. And what happens is if you're just in no man's land, you're not in the devil's house and you're not in God's house, then you're going to get caught up in the crossfire because this is real. There's a lot going on. So Jesus Christ went throughout the land of Israel, and he spoke to the cities, and he warned them. He told them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He did many mighty works in these cities, and they refused to repent. They saw him do the works, and they said, so? And Jesus said, hey, it's going to be worse for those cities that saw him work signs, miracles, and wonders and still reject him than it was for Sodom and Gomorrah. We know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. They were consumed with fire. The cities were burned to dust, to rubble. And so now Jesus Christ, after he speaks about these cities, and at the end of Matthew chapter 11, he is praying. He's actually speaking to his Father. And I'm going to read what it says here. It says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, it says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son reveals, the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I want you to hear some things in here, but especially the part at the end. Today's teaching is about believers, unbelievers, and disciples, because people in their relationship with God start as believers. Everyone believes when they experience the hand of God in their life. So there is healing, there is deliverance, there is restoration, there is encouragement. All of these things are the response to you believing what it says in Acts 2:38 and 39 when he says to repent, turn away from sin, and to be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. When you believe to speak in tongues and prophesy, as it says in Acts 19:1-7, when you believe to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, and you believe in your heart that God raised the Son Jesus Christ from the dead, and you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, as it says in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 13. When you do those things, then you see the beginning of your salvation occur. And so now you have these people who are in the next category. They're unbelievers. These people have set themselves against the purposes of God by setting themselves against Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that these people oftentimes are judging God and actively opposing his Son, Jesus Christ, as we're going to read about here in a little bit. And they're set out to and committed to stealing the peace of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting because you start as a believer seeking provision, seeking the hand of God in your life so that you can have your need met. But then, as you grow and develop in your relationship with God, you go from just following Jesus Christ for your provision and need and seeking the hand of God to following Jesus Christ so that you can actually gather with Jesus Christ. you seek the face of God, you seek relationship with God, and you follow Jesus Christ to serve God by living a fruitful Christian life and reconciling others, reconciling the world back to God. And see, that is what makes you a disciple. A disciple is a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ. However, unbelievers, they are actively set against you because they're against Jesus Christ, and their job is to scatter abroad. Their job is to cause so much chaos and confusion that people don't know what to believe. And so they say, oh, it all makes no sense, and you can take it or leave it. But what we're going to see today, after we go through what the scripture says, we're going to see that the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven have been disclosed and revealed to the disciples of Jesus Christ, to the disciplined followers of Jesus Christ, to those who go beyond the journey. They go on the journey, and they learn how to endure hardship as a good soldier. They learn how to glory in tribulation, understanding that tribulation is coming. See, if they set themselves against Jesus Christ, they're going to set themselves against you. But if you follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, you're going to know what to do in that situation. See, Jesus Christ says at the end of this section here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, he says, or 28, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, he didn't say there was no yoke, and he didn't say there was no burden. He said that his yoke was easy, and then he said his burden is light, and that you will find rest for your souls. See, our soul is very valuable. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotion. And when we understand that rest for our mind, will, and emotions is available, when we accept the yoke of Christ. The yoke is when you basically, have you seen two oxen on side of one another or two horses on side of one another, and they connect them at the neck with this contraption? The contraption that they connect the two together with is called a yoke. And the reason you connect two horses together or two oxen together, that might be pulling a plow or might be pulling a cart, is because you have something that is called synergy that occurs between the two horses or the two oxen. When you have one horse pulling something all by itself or one ox pulling something all by itself, what you have is one ox power or one horsepower. And the power of that horse is the most power you have access to. Now, if you connect that horse to another horse, or you connect that oxen to another oxen, then you end up not with two horsepower. You end up with exponential horsepower beyond the two horses or two oxen, because there's something that occurs between the two that increases their output, increases their productivity, increases their energy and their power, and that is what we call synergy. It is something that is unseen but understood to be a real force. And so we place a yoke upon the two horses or the two oxen in order to increase their output. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He didn't say there is no burden to carry. He didn't say there is no yoke to carry. Each and every one of us knows that we need to carry our own cross, our own burden. But he's saying, look, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart. So see, we are trusting Jesus Christ when we respond to this word that he's given us. And we know that if we are overloaded, if we labor and we're heavy laden, Jesus Christ says, I will give you rest. He said, take off the yoke of the world that basically asks us and requires us to attach us to the things of this world and take on his yoke. Which is easier, because see, you can serve God or you can serve money. And if you serve money, I guarantee you that your burden is going to be grievous. And the Word of God says you shall be punished when you serve money. And that's real. That's absolute. I'm not going to go into the scripture behind that these days, but what I'll tell you is if you Google it, the verse will come up. It's in there. So I want to look here specifically at this portion of scripture that is in Matthew chapter 12, because it's going to tell you about how these unbelievers operate. Because, see, the unbelievers here are really the authors of chaos. They set themselves against believers and disciples of Jesus Christ. And we have to understand that the believers are the people just starting out. They're the people who have need, who are responding to the place where their need is supposed to be met. They follow Jesus Christ for their provision, for their need, so that they can seek the hand of God. But after they experience the hand of God, then what's required is the laborers, those apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are supposed to enter into their life and equip them with the power of the word and the instruction of the Holy Spirit so that they can walk and develop a fruitful Christian life, and they can become a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ. See, the beginning of a thing is always good, but the end is always better. But the end of a thing is the result of continuous walking and trusting and studying and praying and fasting and testing the Word of God in your life by doing what it says, by renewing your mind to the Word of God, by being transformed by renewing your mind to the Word of God. So look at what it says here in Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. It says, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the heads of grain to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, they said to Jesus Christ, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. So one of the things that the unbelievers, the Pharisees, do is they follow Jesus Christ too. But they follow Jesus Christ not to learn, not to obey, not to emulate. They follow Jesus Christ to judge. They are referred to in the scripture as those who would be considered the tares. They're in church to see who's not doing what they should be doing. They're in church to criticize, condemn, and complain. They're in church to try to discredit the purposes and power of God. And know that they're in the church. The Bible calls them tares, mm-hmm. right? You think everybody in the church is in the body of Christ, and they're not. Mm-hmm. And so you want to be
say that.
You want to be careful not to copy the ways of these people because they are working against the purposes of God in order to try to discredit Jesus Christ and judge God. So look at what it says here. These Pharisees are calling out his disciples for pulling the grains of wheat to eat, the heads of the grain. They're hungry. They're eating on the Sabbath. And now the Pharisees, these unbelievers that call themselves believers or Christians, they say they're in the church, but they're not. And so they're judging the ones who actively are following Jesus Christ. And they say, your disciples aren't doing what's right to do on the Sabbath. And so now Jesus Christ responds in verse 3. He says, but he said to them, Jesus Christ said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? See, they work on the Sabbath. There are things the priests have to do, but they're not held blameless. They are held blameless, rather. They're not held in account. Verse 6 says, yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple, speaking of himself, Jesus Christ. And verse 7 says, but if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Now, Jesus Christ is setting things up. He's laying up. He's laying out the real situation for them to understand that he, the Son of Man, the Son of David, Jesus Christ, is Lord of the Sabbath. So what he says is okay is going to be okay. What he says is going to be acceptable to God is going to be acceptable to God. And now we know that it says in Romans, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? So if you're following Jesus Christ, if you are a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ, these people who are following you around trying to judge every little step you're doing and every little mistake that you make, this is a spirit of contention. In Philippians, it says that there are those who preach Christ out of contention and that there are those who preach Christ out of love. And we are to be those who preach Christ out of love, not those who preach Christ out of contention. But the important thing is that people preach Christ. God is going to use that no matter what. Unfortunately, those who preach Christ out of contention, they forfeit their reward. They forfeit the benefit to them. Somebody's going to receive something good out of Christ being preached, but they're not going to receive the benefit. And that's why God is saying, look, I need you to not do that because I want to openly reward you for you doing my things my way. But when you do my things your way, then you're setting yourself up to find yourself very disappointed as these unbelievers who are following Jesus Christ around. Amen. Now look at what it says here in verse 9. It says, now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath that they may accuse him? So the unbelievers, these Pharisees, they followed Jesus Christ into the synagogue, and then they challenged him. And they said, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath for the purpose of accusing Jesus Christ? Then he, Jesus Christ, said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out, which was against the law because it's considered work, right? And so verse 12, it says, of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. So now Jesus Christ is really laying out God's heart and intent behind the Sabbath. He's saying, look, it's good to do good. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath because you know that if one of your sheep fell into a pit, nothing would stop you from picking that sheep up out of the pit so that you don't lose the value of that sheep. You have to understand that back then, sheep were currency. Your wealth was connected to your sheep. And so if one of your sheep ended up falling into a pit on the Sabbath just because it was the holy day, that wouldn't stop you from picking that sheep up. And Jesus Christ is calling them up out and saying, look, you would do this for a sheep. So now how much more is it? How much more sense does it make that I would do this for a man who is more valuable than a sheep, right? And so now he's really going to test them in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 12. He says, then he said to the man with a withered hand, stretch out your hand. See, they were challenging Christ before to say, hey, is it even lawful for you to come up in here healing people on the Sabbath? You're about to break the Mosaic law. And so their whole position is to come against Christ by scattering and creating fear in the hearts of the people who wanted to follow Jesus Christ, the people who want to follow his example, right? The issue here is that these people are afraid of these Pharisees because Pharisees had power. They were the high-ranking rulers of the religious realm back then. And we all know that in our world today is not much different than the world then. There are three types of power that we know of in the world, in our world. There is religious power, there is political power, and there is economic power. So people in business and people in religion and people in
come on.
Yes. Religious power, economic power, and political power. People in those three realms, they have power. And so we know that they're going to use that power. These Pharisees were using their religious power in a political way to set themselves against Jesus Christ and judge him and try to find him guilty of doing what they knew he was going to do. They knew he was going to do good. They knew he was going to heal this man. And so now Jesus Christ speaks to the man with a withered hand. He says, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. See, the man's faith put him in this category of the believers because he believed to receive restoration and healing, and he was made whole. It says, and the man stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him, Jesus Christ, how they might destroy him. So see, these unbelievers, they're not just passively sitting around saying, we don't believe this. They are actively setting themselves against the purposes of God, against his son, Jesus Christ. And now they're seeking how they can destroy Jesus Christ, who's going around healing those who are in need. Verse 15 says, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him. See, disciples followed Jesus Christ, and he healed them all. Yet he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved son, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he shall not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles would trust. See, you see this speak twice of the Gentiles. It says he will declare justice to the Gentiles, speaking about Jesus Christ. And it says, and in his name Gentiles will trust. That's speaking about us. That's an amazing thing. Then something else happens in verse 22. It says, then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him, so that the blind man, who was mute, both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? So now they're beginning to make the connection and say, hey, this might be the Messiah. Verse 24, now when the Pharisees, the unbelievers, heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Now, this is an interesting thing. Look here. The unbelievers are making an argument against the power of Jesus Christ that cannot be denied. He took a man who couldn't speak and couldn't see and restored his speech and his sight. And now this is making the multitudes who are witnessing this say, this might be the Messiah. This might be the son of David. And then the Pharisees speak out directly against Jesus Christ and say that he's casting out demons in the name of the devil. Now, this shows you how far unbelievers will go in order to cause chaos and to introduce doubt that opposes the reality of spiritual power in the earth. And so it's not going to be enough for signs, miracles, and wonders to be brought forth. You're going to have to actively stand against these powers by backing the power up, by continuing to follow Jesus. You can gather with Jesus Christ because these people who set themselves against Jesus Christ are actively seeking to scatter. They're actively seeking to introduce chaos in order to divide people about the reality of what they are seeing. See, nobody can deny the power of Jesus Christ in the earth because it changed things for the past 2,000 years. And yet, these people, these Pharisees, These are the same jokers who paid people to say that the disciples stole the body of Christ out of the tomb and that Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead. Jesus Christ wasn't raised by God. These guys paid people to say he didn't and that the disciples stole him. Right? So when you understand how far unbelievers will go, it should not surprise you. They're not saying we don't just believe. They're actively setting themselves against us in order to scatter so that when you decide you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you better understand there is some enemy attacks coming your way. But remember, that is in the world, and even though they're going to levy charges against you, they're going to condemn you. You have to know and understand that there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. So what Jesus Christ says is lawful for you to do, it's lawful for you to do. It's always lawful for you to do good. It says that the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are disclosed and revealed to the disciples of Jesus Christ, right? So just because they don't know, they don't hear, they don't see, they don't understand, doesn't mean that that should impact your spiritual reality at all, because it's been made known to you because you're going to do. So now they accuse Jesus Christ of casting out demons in the name of the devil, and this is Jesus Christ's response in verse 25. He says, but Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, the devil, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now, he lays it down right here. He's saying, look, if what you're saying isn't true, if I'm not casting out demons in the name of the devil, but I'm casting out demons by the power of the Spirit of God, understand that the kingdom of God has come upon you. He's telling them, you can't deny this. You can try. But this is what you're looking at. And so now verse 29, it says, or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder his house. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. And I'm going to stop right there so that you can really get this and really understand that Jesus Christ bound the devil when he came and when he operated signs, miracles, and wonders and set people free. And so he could cast out demons because he had the authority to cast out demons. He had the power to cast out demons. And so the devil no more had the power and control and authority that he had after Jesus Christ was sent. And after his death, burial, and resurrection, when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by God and seated at God's right hand and given all power in heaven and earth and under the earth by God, then the Holy Spirit was sent to dwell within you and I. And the devil's power was stripped of him. All power in heaven and earth and under the earth was transferred and given to God's Son, Jesus Christ. And now everything changed. Jesus Christ, we're plundering the devil's house. When we're taking souls of the lost out of the world and bringing them into the household of God by introducing them to the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. See, these lives are being transformed. But Jesus Christ says in verse 30, he who is not with me is against me. So you can't be halfway in. It is not enough to say I go to church. I'm in the church. Unbelievers are in the church. These Sadducees were the religious leaders of their day. They called the shots. And they set themselves actively against Jesus Christ because he was going to mess up their money game. He was messing up their influence game. He was influencing their interface with the real political powers that existed at the time, the Rome. The Romans.
Yeah, Rome. All right, that's good. Come on, bro.
Messing with our situation. We don't want you messing with our money. And so what they were really doing, though, was scattering abroad. They were trying to cause chaos by saying, look, we got to destroy this guy. He's messing everything up. He's upsetting the balance. We have a way of doing things. But Jesus Christ said, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. The disciples, the disciplined followers of Jesus Christ, we gather with Jesus Christ. We are reconciling the law back to God by introducing them to his son Jesus Christ so that they can make Jesus Christ their master. And when they do that, then they are able to come boldly before the throne of God and receive that grace and that mercy to help in time of need. And see, it was the mercy that they're trying to talk the people out of. See, because God says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. See, we have to understand that Jesus Christ has came here to give us the more than abundant life, to allow us to walk in the liberty of Christ, which is the law of love, where we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We love ourselves and we love others. That's the law of Christ. The law of Moses would say that because it's the Sabbath, you can't heal someone. You can't be good. Because it's the Sabbath, you can't pluck the grains and take what you need. And God is saying, I've changed all that. I sent my son to pay for all that. I've sent my son to make everything available to you. So we want to freely make ourselves available to the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven and receive what God gives us through his word, through his spirit. We want to know that there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We want to not allow the unbelievers to steal our peace, and we want to give no credit to them who oppose Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and attempt to judge God by saying that what God does is not excellent, by saying that God's plan is not good. And we want to understand that when we follow Jesus Christ, we serve God by living a fruitful Christian life, by reconciling the world back to God, and we seek the faith of God. We seek relationship with God. See, when we start out, it starts from a place of need because God needs to heal us. He needs to clean us up. He needs to straighten us up. He needs to restore us. He needs to undo all the damage that was done from sin in our life. And bring us to a place where we can stand boldly before him. But ultimately, where we're going is where we have a relationship with God. We seek the face of God. We come before the throne of God daily to receive assignments from God so that we can gather with Jesus Christ. And when we understand that the goal is to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, then we are disciplined followers of Jesus Christ who gather with him. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth. I thank you for you continuing to give us the favor and the grace and the mercy so that we can help in time of need. And I thank you for you getting all of the glory and all of the honor and all the praise for that today. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. Apostle Cook, that is the word for today.
Amen, and what a hallelujah powerful word that was on the believers, the unbelievers, and the disciples. Praise the living God. Well, at this time,
amen.
If you follow us here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience, you know at this time I'm going to ask God's anointed prophetic intercessor and pastor, Vanessa Carver, to come forth and just truly pray and seal this teaching for today, because I believe that the Lord was truly speaking to her the whole time. So right now, please, my brothers and sisters, let's prepare to go to prayer and stand in agreement with Pastor Vanessa Carver. Amen.
Amen. Father God, we just thank you right now for the word. We thank you for the one who delivered the word, that you bless and keep and restore everything, Father God, that was given in this message, the time of prayer, the time of preparation. And I thank you, Lord, that even as it pertains to the level of the word, that there are certain things, Father God, that we all need to hear with understanding, that will impart understanding to us in the days to come, that this word, especially the text and the things that were shared, will weigh heavy on our hearts. Thank you, Lord, today, not in a place of negativity, but in a place where we change and we are convicted by your word. And we pray, Lord, that everyone who has a mind to be a disciple, we thank you, Lord, today that they be strengthened in that place, that they gain a level of courage for what it looks like, especially in 2024, to be a disciple, and the persecution that will follow and the different conflicts that we will have. And I thank you, Lord, today that we will be still and know that you're God in it, because there's things you're doing through us. And I thank you, Lord, today for this word, that it will be fruitful, and that in the days to come, Father God, that it will be applied in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen, and to God be the
amen.
Glory. Thank you, Pastor Vanessa. Thank you so much. Now, at this time, you have heard the word, and there may be someone that was sitting within the sound of our voices that you haven't really, truly, hallelujah, declared and decreed to the Lord that you are a sinner. You are in need of a Savior, him, and you have not really invited him to come into your life and be a part of your life, to lead your life and guide your life. My friend, we came to tell you today that Jesus is the answer. He's the answer for the believers. He's the answer for those unbelievers. And he's the answer for those of us who truly are walking toward discipleship. But before you can begin, you must first, hallelujah, bow your heart, confess your sin. Let Jesus know that you are ready to receive from him your assignment. So at this time, I'm going to ask that Apostle Zeta once again come in, and she will have a word. I believe she has a special word for those who are lost today, especially those who may be in situations of abuse, oppression. So, Apostle Zeta, I'm going to just ask you to come back in and just speak to those who may be lost this morning and invite them into a relationship with the Lord.
All right. Praise God. Well, I know you have heard the message, and I trust that you were touched by the message, and we know that somebody has to be, because it does not go out void, but it goes out and
Amen.
Accomplishes what it was sent to do. Praise God.
That's right.
So if there's anybody that is ready, hallelujah, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts, in their lives, you can do it right now in the name of Jesus. I'm just going to read a few scriptures. And also, she asked me to speak to any of those that are suffering through abuse or whatever. There is hope for you. There definitely is. And Jesus Christ, hallelujah, is everything that we need him to be. And that's for each and every one of us. So whatever you're going through, you're not cast aside, because Jesus died for you, and he wants you to have that freedom in him. Hallelujah. And when we accept him, we have that freedom. We're no longer slaves to anybody, to the world or anything, but we become believers of Christ Jesus, and we have the right to the tree of life, and to everything that he has promised us, we have the right to it. Praise God. And you have the right to not only life, but eternal life in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to read a few scriptures here, but don't think that just because somebody has taken advantage of you, hallelujah, and abused you in any way, that Jesus has not forgotten about you. He knows about it, hallelujah, and he will restore you. He will heal you. He will save you. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to read out of Romans, the 10th chapter. And it says, I'm going to start with the 11th verse. Well, I'll go a little further up. The 9th verse says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. So first of all, we must confess, hallelujah, that we are a sinner, hallelujah, but that we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus, our Savior, from the dead. Hallelujah. We shall be saved. And if you can believe that today within your heart, then you are saved. Verse 10 says, for with the heart the man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it doesn't matter who you are or what you've been through, hallelujah, or what you have done. It doesn't matter. You can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. So if you're ready to accept Jesus into your heart, all you have to do is ask him, hallelujah, to accept you, hallelujah, praise God. You accept him, rather. He's already accepted you, but we have to accept him. So if you're ready, you can confess with your mouth, hallelujah, hallelujah, that you believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead. You are saved already. Amen. So God bless you. And I'm going to pray a prayer, hallelujah, that you,
yes,
hallelujah, will continue to be blessed. Those of you that have accepted,
yes,
the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, Father God, I pray for these ones. I pray, Lord, hallelujah, that they will be led to a place, a church, a ministry, or wherever you may choose to lead them. Hallelujah, but they will be led by you, hallelujah, that you will lead them to the right place where they will hear the true word of God, that they will know about you, hallelujah, by what they learn through your word and through the leader, hallelujah, that they will meet, hallelujah, at this place where you may be sending them. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you. Amen and amen.
Amen. Absolutely beautiful, Apostle. Thank you so much. At this time, we will now ask that our anointed speaker and our bishop come back in, because he also does a phenomenal job in just lifting up our brethren. We want everyone to know that here at Spirit Alive, we really honor our men. We want our men to be in their rightful place. We respect the order and we obey the order that God has placed himself, ordained himself. So at this time, we're going to ask our bishop to come back in with his word for the men for today.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Pope. The word for the men today has to do with rejecting pride and avoiding the trap of pleasing people. So there are going to be three scriptures that I'm going to share that's going to help you with that.
Amen.
Today. John,
amen,
chapter 44, it says, how can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? So you have to focus on obtaining praise from God and not people, or else you're going to be trapped trying to please people, and you're not going to please people. It's never going to happen. Look at what it says here in Luke chapter 16, verse 15. It says, he said to them, You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. That's what God has to say about it. But then I'm going to give you something to do that's going to help you redirect all of this prideful energy. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17 to 18. It says, but let him who boasts boast in the Lord, for it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. So we want to allow God to commend us by boasting in him so that we know that our position is assured and that we don't have to go around patting ourselves on the back, explaining to people all the good things that we did that we think are worthy of whatever they're worthy of. We who boast, we boast in the Lord and the Lord alone. So that is the word for the men today, Apostle Cook.
Hallelujah and amen. Thank you, Jesus. What a wonderful word. This has been a phenomenal service, praise and worship service. Bishop, I want to thank you once again for just letting the Lord use you in the way that he has on today. And I'd like to thank all of the anointed servant leaders and our elders here at Spirit Alive. They truly do make our services special. But at this time, I'm going to share with you other ways, let you know what's going on at the Spirit Alive Network here this week. And so there are other ways that you can call in and, you know, and not just call in to listen. We want you to call in to participate. We want to hear your voice. We want to know your concerns. Hallelujah. So on tomorrow, you can join Bishop Lester and his wife, Pastor Vanessa, at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for their program, God's Great Love for Us. On Tuesday, once again, you can join Bishop Lester Carver at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for his Tuesday night teaching. On this upcoming Wednesday, please be sure to join Apostle Zeta Flowers for her All Nations Bible Study. And she right now is on a great series called God's Riches at Christ's Expense, and she will be teaching part 3. And then on Thursday at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can join Pastor Vanessa Carver, who is also in the midst of a dynamic series entitled The Mind and Heart of God. So though that's what's going on here at the Spirit Alive Network this week, I pray that you will come out and participate and govern yourselves accordingly. Amen. So at this time, if there be nothing else, hallelujah, we will now have our own Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell bring us the benediction, and I will dismiss you.
Amen. Wonderful, wonderful sermon. And it did not go, it did hit somebody because some of it hit me, and I am so thankful for it. All the things reach you and make our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit with us all until we meet again. Amen.
Amen.
Let the Church of God say amen and amen. You have
been
listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, hallelujah, for this Sunday, April the 21st, 2024. We pray that you will continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours. It really and truly is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. You are dismissed. Go in peace. And remember, God loves you and so do we. Blessings to you for a beautiful rest of your day. All of you that's in the sanctuary, God bless you. I love you. I see you. All of my aunts, I see you. God bless you. And thank you once again, Bishop. I really did enjoy your message for today. God bless you all. Love you, Mom. God bless you.
Have a great day. Love you guys.
Love ya.
Love you.
Bye.
Love you all.
Bye. Love you. Bye.
Have a great day.
Bye.